Good afternoon. This is KDMK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.
We are the Andy Zanka Youth News Team, a group of middle school students that meet once a week to learn about news and broadcasting, as well as to discuss issues that are important to us.
As we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted nearly every aspect of our daily lives. There have been 7.8 million cases in the United States, and over 214,000 people have died. Restaurants, schools, gyms, movie theaters, colleges, and much more were closed or had to change the way they operate.
Trips have been postponed, sports games, events, and concerts were canceled, and countries have closed their borders.
Families are geographically separated. Many people live alone and are isolated from their loved ones and communities.
Wearing masks and practicing social distancing to protect ourselves and our community have become our new norm.
Regardless of all these changes, in many ways we have proven to ourselves that we can be adaptable and connect in different ways.
Working from home has become more common. People are able to check in on their community and loved ones virtually.
Conditions continue to change. Restrictions are lifted and new ones are put into place. We are still learning and adapting every single day.
The theme for this month's public affairs show is a COVID community check-in. We have invited local business owners and teachers to discuss their thoughts on the pandemic, ways they have had to adapt, what they have learned, challenges, and what they are looking forward to in the future.
We constantly hear things in news about how we are responding to COVID on a national scale. We thought it'd be really interesting to talk to our local community members from around the Roaring Fork Valley and how they are doing.
I'm Ina.
I'm Andy.
I'm Emery.
I'm Blake.
I'm Eva Marie.
And I'm Indigo. Welcome to our COVID community check-in. The first guest on our show today is Mike Schneider. Mike is a social studies teacher at Glenwood Springs High School and teaches outdoor ed at Colorado Mountain College. He also owns Glenwood Climbing Guides, a local rock climbing guide service. He is a father of four and an avid outdoors person. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Mary Hernandez. Mary is an English language development teacher at Carbondale Middle School, and she has taught English to immigrants in the Roaring Fork Valley since 2007. And in 2017, received the Colorado Association for Bilingual Education's ESL Teacher of the Year. She is passionate about supporting good newly immigrated students in their transition to life in the United States. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Our final guest is Robin Humble. Robin and her husband, Steve, own Free Range Kitchen and Wine Bar in downtown Basalt. Free Range offers seasonal, innovative comfort food, sourcing local ingredients wherever it's possible. Their goal is to create a fun community restaurant and wine bar with warm, friendly service and a great atmosphere in historic downtown Basalt. Robin and her husband, Steve, both have decades of experience in the food and beverage industry. They have also raised two kids in the Roaring Fork Valley. Thanks so much for joining us today, Robin.
Thanks so much.
We would like to start today's interview by talking about how the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted our personal lives. Robin, what have been the biggest challenges for you personally?
You know, each stage of this crisis has presented different challenges. Initially, obviously being told to shut down in a day and then waiting to hear what the next directive was stressful, and then formulating a plan to execute the next stage, which was takeout only, thinking of everybody and everything and every decision that needed to be made to keep people safe just kept us up at night trying to make sure we were thinking through everything. Everything from as big as, you know, making sure somebody who normally took the bus wasn't necessarily somebody working at the time, and or, you know, how many to-go boxes you might need. There were so many little things and big things to consider.
That is very true. Mike, what about you?
I think for me, the biggest personal challenge with COVID, particularly the beginning of it, was I've been a teacher for now 21 years, and I've been wanting to go travel with my family and step away from teaching and just focus on guiding and teaching outdoor education. So in February, I actually resigned from teaching. I was going to finish out the school year. And then my family and I, we were going to go travel. Like, we have a big 30-foot camper that we had bought. Like, we were getting all set up. And then when COVID hit, I was like, oh gosh, school shut down. you know, businesses shut down. I thought this is like a really bad time to go on a big trip and to quit my stable teaching job. For me, that was the biggest challenge of having to just take the life plan that I had and then change it pretty quickly. That was hard for the family, I think, even though we felt like it was the right decision to make. But it was also hard just like professionally, like I was really ready just to dedicate myself to guiding and just running our business and taking a break from teaching. I love teaching and I've loved doing it for 20 years, but I was just ready for something different and particularly to go spend more time with my family. So for me, that was the biggest challenge. And then came all this challenge of like, how are we going to reopen the business and how are we going to teach? How are we going to do online teaching? And those are more like professional challenges, I guess, where I kind of just took that more in stride. But it's those personal challenges that were, I think, hit closest to home, maybe.
You know, the hardest thing for me when this whole thing went down was getting sent home to teach online right away and going from in-person with my students to just completely online. I actually grieved, like I was so sad for weeks because I couldn't see my kids in person. It actually was kind of an eye-opener for me because I always thought that I wanted to teach online. And then I realized that no, that is not fun. So it was, in a way, it was kind of an awakening where it made me realize how much I really do love teaching and how much it kind of feeds my soul.
So Robin, you spoke on this lately, but your initial response, how has it shifted over the past few months?
We are obviously taking direction from the Eagle County Health Department. First, we were told to close, and then we were told to go to takeout model, in which case we perfected that. We did contactless pickup where we had people call with credit cards, got their time, gave them a time slot to pick up, had people out in the curb waiting, opening their own doors, closing their own doors while we placed the food inside. Payment was done ahead of time and there was literally no contact. And then eventually we were told to open for service, which was felt strange because everyone coming, arriving in masks, entries and exits were supposed to be separate. And there was, you know, just a lot of additional cleaning and sanitizing practices. We had staff meetings on all of what was expected. And obviously it was just a whole new world of how do you execute an in-person business with it being people that are dining. And although I feel like, you know, they would come in with their masks and sit down with their masks on and then remove their masks to eat, our staff always had their masks on. And, you know, again, I continue to worry about the staff's exposure, my own exposure due to my health concerns or previous health issues. Just always trying to make sure that we are doing the right thing whilst dealing with also the whole differences of opinions that we found popped up, meaning some people didn't want to wear masks, some people made jokes of wearing masks, some people sort of made the staff feel a little bit uncomfortable about the masks, some people went the other direction, they were very offended if they saw a mask pulled down at all. There was just the being in the middle of these crossfire of opinions, and we were just following the rules. I think throughout the summer, we saw that it didn't stop people from dining. As a matter of fact, I think in some cases, dining was the only thing people could do at night. They can't go to the theater, they can't go to the movies, they can't go to music, and all those things made it dining actually kind of in the mountains where everybody is escaping from the cities. A lot of people aren't going out of the country. People were finding what to do in this country, out of the cities. And sometimes people probably who have never been drawn to the outdoors were drawn to the outdoors because this was the year to do it. And so mountain restaurants actually got very busy, but that wasn't without some stress in itself. Like you wanted to be super positive about all the business, but then it just felt sort of strange. And, you know, we were all sort of looking at each other like, wow, this is bizarre.
Definitely. So, Mike, you said that you and your family were planning to go on a trip and travel all around for a while. So have you since rescheduled? Have you since found a way to do that with COVID still happening, obviously?
That's a great question. It's actually a huge topic in our household right now about are we going to go next year? Like, is this going to be my last year teaching, or are we going to wait another year? I think time will tell, but it's something we're talking about a lot. We did feel fortunate enough this summer where we did go out on a few different camping trips. So that was a lot of fun. It wasn't a replacement for the big, you know, living on the road for a year that we had planned, but it was still good to get out. And it was a great breath of fresh air after all the stuff that we've been going through. With our guide service, I think it was interesting for us because when COVID happened, you know, there was a lot of direction for ski areas to shut down and restaurants to shut down. And then a lot of talk about what it took to reopen and go into like a takeout model for restaurants. But for our guide service, it's not like there was anything coming from the state or county health to give us direction. So we had to really kind of figure out like, what do we need to do? And I don't know, I sat through so many webinars and classes and read and talked to so many different experts out there in the field to try to just figure out how we could reopen our business. And then when we did, it was just a huge, like, just trying to figure out, like, is this the right thing? Do I feel safe with this? Do our guides feel safe with this? Like, I was asking them all the time, like, how do you feel? Do you feel safe enough? Like, do we need to change something? And I said from the very beginning, like, we'll just shut this all down if we need to. There are a lot of guide services in America that just, they closed their doors for the entire year. And there are some that just went out of business. And so that was definitely a thought that I had about maybe we just close down. All of our big groups that we work with during the summer and spring, they all canceled. So that was, I think, interesting, trying to navigate all of that. And a lot of it was people just didn't really know. They didn't know what to tell you. With schools, and I'm with Mary, I love what Mary said, because I used to think that I wanted to teach online as well. And then I pretty quickly realized, like, this is not for me. I miss that daily contact, that personal contact with students, even though I only teach part-time, I guess. I teach every other day. But still, every other day, I'd get that contact with students that I just cherish. I realize now how much I miss that. For the Roaring Fork School District, our plan is to go back. Well, they're staggering it. So K through 3 is going to go back October 19th, and then 4th through 8th, October 26th, and then high school November 2nd. And so for me as a high school teacher, I think I'm excited about it. I'm also a little nervous, you know. I just want to know that we're going to all be safe enough. Transitioning to the online model that we went to in the spring was a challenge because none of us were really experts on it, and we're all trying to adapt what we do and how we do it and how we think we do it well, and trying to adapt that into an online model. And that's been a challenge, and it remains to be a challenge today. There's a reason why we're in-person schools on a regular basis, not an online school.
And Mary, what was your business or school's response to COVID, and how has that changed?
So I'm in the same district with Mike, Roaring Fork School District. And so I have to say that I was very impressed with the way they handled it and the speed with which they put together a very comprehensive, detailed plan. I know that the leadership gave up their spring break and just dedicated all this time to get us ready. They gave us extra time to get ready. But it was rolling into a whole different platform and really making big adjustments. I think that given the information they've had and with all the changes, I think that they've done a really good job of adjusting and responding to feedback and responding to the community and making really good decisions. I think we're all feeling really divided. We want to be with our students, but we're nervous at the same time. And we just want everybody to be okay. But I have to say that I have felt very supported and very pleased with the way they've handled things.
Robin, can you please give us a few examples on how you adapted to meet the community's needs and comfort levels?
So again, when we went to takeout, we initially started with one process and then moved to the contactless pickup. We were feeling very good about the safety and lack of exposure for everyone at that point. And then when we opened the doors, it was all outside dining for the most part, with the appropriate distancing. All the staff wears masks, extra sanitation processes. We went from having paper menus to laminated menus that we stick in a bucket of sanitizer each time they're used, and we wipe them down. We wipe all the tables and chairs down every time. We wipe the bathrooms down. Felt like we were doing that again very well. And so far, so good, knock on wood. We haven't seen any sickness. We haven't heard of any sickness from anyone who's been at the restaurant. You know, I think the biggest concern is the next step, which will bring us to inside dining again. And, you know, where we go with that, I know that there'll be specific rules that we follow again in terms of the spacing, the number of the capacity in the restaurant, number of people that we can seat. And quite frankly, this is where it gets really tricky. And we hope to be able to just survive the winter knowing that we're going to have a very limited capacity. And all of those processes are going to get, you know, very intense. We're going to be worried when anybody has a cold, the flu, any of that. So yeah, I feel like we're looking towards the next step of things that we can do to keep everyone safe. Because I feel like we've done it pretty well so far. But again, this is a whole nother chapter coming up.
Right. Mike, what about you?
Well, for us at Glenwood Climate Guides, in many ways, it's easier for us because our business is outside being in the sun and the wind and, you know, outside just in general safer. But it definitely caused us to change the way we did things. We ordered a bunch of gear when this thing got started, things like liquid chalk that had 80% ethanol in it, and did a lot to try to just get ready for having enough gear so we could quarantine gear between uses, trying to sanitize people's hands, even if they, like, you know, inevitably we had some of the COVID hoaxers, people that weren't really concerned about it. So we instituted things, and just how we did things and how we met with people and how we interacted with them to keep our distance, to get them to sanitize their hands with things like liquid chalk, kind of discreetly, even if they weren't really concerned about COVID. Those were a lot of the big things that we did. And in many ways, what we do hasn't changed a ton. We're still going outside and still interacting with people. But one thing we did is we didn't do any mixed groupings or classes or anything like that with our business. And I know at the college teaching there, those classes were a challenge because we were restricted with our travel. So the restrictions we had there really made classes difficult. So most of our CMC outdoor ed classes have been canceled this year, unfortunately. And it's just a different population, and so it's a different setting that we're doing that stuff in. It's made it more challenging. In the schools, I know there's a lot of challenges we have of trying to go back, and online, you know, is this imperfect thing, and we're doing our best with it. But as we go back to in person, I think there's a lot of questions. I know at Glenwood Springs High School, we have a lot of questions about number of students in the building and the HVAC system, which is always been problematic long before COVID. Anyone that's ever gone to Glenwood Springs High School can tell you about the smells or the it's too hot, too cold, whatever, all the issues we've had with the HVAC system. So we're hopefully getting all those hurdles taken on at the high school. For our business, I feel like in many ways it was almost easier to put things in place to make it happen.
All the teachers I know have really worked hard to up their communication levels with parents and with students. And in some ways, I think our relationships with the students have gotten stronger. I think we right away realized that, you know, emotional health was priority. And so we approached everything we did with, you know, let's take care of our students emotionally. And so we worked really hard to stay in close touch with them and communicate them with them personally, regularly, really working hard to communicate with parents and make sure they have all the information they needed and help they needed. you know, we right away, the district started pushing out meals to everybody free across the board, no matter, you know, what your income level. So I've seen such a huge priority placed on emotional health from individuals to, you know, district wide.
For those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth News Team on KDNK. Today we're talking about how local business owners and teachers have adapted to the COVID-19 pandemic. We're speaking with Mike Schneider, owner of Glenwood Climbing Guides and teacher at Glenwood Springs High School in CMC, Robin Humble, owner of Free Range Chicken and Basalt, and Mary Hernandez, English language development teacher at Carbondale Middle School.
What is something you wish the community knew so that we can better support one another? Maybe you would like to thank people for their patience or let them know there are ways to support businesses and teachers without showing up in person. How about you, Robin?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank people already for how much support and how much kindness we've seen. I think more so than ever, we have seen people go out of their way to thank us for staying open. I mean, one thing I will say is we have not had a closure. We usually close twice a year during the off season. We didn't close at all in the spring for fear of not knowing when we would reopen. And if we closed during the takeout, would it mess things up? And we just stuck our heads down and as a family worked constantly. And then now through the summer and even into the fall, everyone has worked so hard on our staff, and we feel like we have been recognized and acknowledged, and we are so grateful for it. Restaurants, as they go into this next phase of being open at a certain capacity inside and all the restrictions and everything, you know, we do ask for a certain level of patience. We ask for a certain level of understanding. We might have to make some tough decisions, like, no, we can't seat you. It might seem like there's plenty of room, but we can't. We're not picking and choosing. We're again playing by the rules, and sometimes certain things are awkward. And so understanding that we're doing the best we can under the circumstances, that our staff and all of us are just doing as we're told. And, you know, everything from the phone lines being busy when takeout gets really busy. And, you know, we're just adapting in the best way we can. And we are, from the bottom of our hearts, as grateful as possible for the support. Yes, things like gift certificates absolutely help restaurants, and continuing to do takeout. If you're comfortable eating inside, do so. And then I think lastly, if there's a rule and we have to enforce it, please be understanding.
As a business, yeah, I think people have been great and we've felt very supported during this time. And I think if anything, I mean, I hope people know that we're here. I mean, we're not doing like classes, and I know like at the college, we don't have a lot of classes going on right now, but we are always willing to work with locals that want to learn how to climb on their own or want to improve their skills so they can climb on their own. And so we've worked with a lot of people this year to help them learn how to climb or get outside, and giving people discounts and things like that, just to help them make it possible. Like, we're totally willing to do that. Adele's helped us out with that, helping us get high school girls out there climbing that wanted to be climbing during this time when climbing gyms have been closed and things like that. And I think as a teacher, I would just ask people consider to give us a lot of patience and grace. And I think they have. I think, you know, it's been great. I know it's just been hard. You know, I feel like in 21 years of teaching, I think I've been working the hardest this year than I ever have before. Like, I've been up at 4 a.m. like every single day, like just like grinding it out and up late. And like, it's been a lot of work, and I know it's just not always perfect. And some days I'm probably really tired too. I maybe don't always have the energy that I want. And so I hope students and parents can help just give us that little bit of grace and I don't know about what else they can do other than that. You know, that's probably the biggest thing.
You know, I have to say that it's so surprising how much more time it takes to teach online than it does in person. It doesn't seem like that would be the case, but I think because of the amount that you have to prepare ahead of time and technologically and put so many things together technologically to be ready for class, it takes so much more time. And I think a lot of people just can't wrap their heads around it. I wouldn't have ever expected that. So yeah, I echo Mike and patience from the community, but also I really want to thank the parents, because I cannot believe, you know, I don't know how people are doing it and they're supporting their kids in their online education while working. And I just want to say how much I appreciate them taking on all these things. I have parents that, you know, really struggle with technology, and they've just gotten in there and they've tried to figure things out. And I really feel for parents out there. I think that they are working so hard to be teaching and working at the same time. So I want to say thank you to the parents who have, you know, I mean, I just don't know how you do it, honestly, but I really appreciate all that you've done to support your kids and us.
Before we conclude this interview, is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, first of all, I think you guys are doing an amazing job. I'm really impressed. I'm not surprised that Adele has put together such a remarkable group of people with such amazing questions and dialogue and all of it. It's really impressive. You all seem very natural and comfortable. And so congratulations to you guys for the good, great job you're doing.
Thank you guys for asking our opinions and for being so professional. And you are so, I'm so impressed with each and every one of you. So keep doing what you're doing. And thanks for asking us our opinion.
You all are awesome. I want my kids to take this class with Adele. So this is great. You're all awesome. I'm just so thankful and grateful. I just feel so blessed that we live where we do on the Western Slope of Colorado in the Roaring Fork Valley. It's just awesome. So, and hopefully that's the thing in all of this. We can just be thankful for what we do have. And access to the outdoors and things like that are a huge part of where we live. So I'm glad for that. I'm glad I'm not in the city right now.
Thank you so much for listening to our program today.
Tune in next month on November 16th from 4 o'clock to 4:30 to hear more from the Youth News Team on KDNK.
Have a great day.